You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on heritageradionetwork.org, live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right, we are on the line with Ben Flanner talking today about this hot heat. Luckily, Ben, I feel blessed at this moment to be sitting in a little bit of AC over at the studio to cool down for a second. And so curious to hear how you guys have been holding up on the farms.
Right, well, it has been super hot. Luckily, there's a little bit of a breeze. So that helps keep us cooler, and to be honest, it's a little bit cooler up on the roof than it is at ground level for sure, especially if you compare it with the street, where it's just concrete all around you absorbing and reflecting all that light. But yeah, we're just drinking buckets of water, just trying to stay hydrated and keep our bodies in line with the amount that we're perspiring and evaporating off of ourselves.
I know one of the things... I was going to say, one of the things I've been noticing here at the office and for myself is, man, just like low energy. Are you guys dealing with that?
Yeah, definitely. We're moving a little bit slower and we're taking a lot of breaks. And I feel it personally, too. Yeah, the air is heavy right now. It's a high humidity, and then that combined with the heat, definitely, nobody's running at peak energy levels right now, I don't think.
Well, what's going on with the plants?
Well, the plants are holding up okay. I think probably, first of all, just to do a quick sort of a review of the seasonality of things, this is not radish and turnip and other cool climate crop season. So luckily, we don't actually have any of those specific ones in the ground. So those plants would definitely be struggling a lot, and this heat would make them susceptible to a lot of diseases and wilting and so forth. The one sort of semi-cool climate crop that we have in the ground right now is kale, and that is struggling. They're definitely, we're losing a lot of leaves. They're getting spotty. They wilt often in the middle of the day, like especially towards the afternoon when the sort of the heat point is at its peak, like around 4 or 5 p.m. They're looking kind of wilty, and then they perk up in the middle of the night. But, so kale's struggling. But the tomatoes are holding in there really well, and the peppers and the eggplants are loving it. And then some of our green mixes are doing okay as well.
Well, I know we chatted about this a touch last week, but what are some of the strategies for kind of protecting the plants from the heat? I mean, what are your options other than like crossing your finger and maybe throwing some Hail Mary passes?
Well, moisture always helps, on the roots. So we might run our drip irrigation lines for an extra couple minutes. Also, particularly making sure that by morning, by the time the sun comes up, at five something, as soon as the plants start getting a little bit stressed from that heat, that they are in as good a condition as possible. I.e., so we make sure we irrigate during the night. And then also, there's row covers and things like that we can experiment. We don't have we have a little bit of row cover that actually we're putting out in the field today. And then also we have some out in the greenhouse where we're doing some microgreens, and that's been helping. You can get shade cloths that the percentage is actually calculated for the amount of sunlight that it deters. Usually like 20 or 30 or 40% is stopped by the cloth. So that can help, but that doesn't really help with the temperature, you know.
Sure. And does that switch up the heat when you guys harvest?
Say that again?
Well, being that it's so hot, I mean, would you make harvesting decisions differently?
Yes, indeed. Actually, it puts a lot more pressure on us because we're harvesting as early as possible. Matt's been making sure the crews are all there right by 6 on our big harvesting days. And our goal is basically to not clip any more leaves past about 10 a.m. because at that point you can just feel the sun starting to stress the plant. And also it makes it harder to harvest because it's sitting in the bin for a couple minutes before you get it into hydro-cool and in a refrigeration. So for that period of time, the leaves are a little more susceptible to wilting. And then one other thing that has sort of been a function of the heat is that tomatoes are growing well, and they've just started to fruit. We had our first tomato harvest this week, and they're beautiful and tasting good. So we're off to the right start. However, we've been having some issues with blossom end rot. I thought we could do a quick little lesson on that before we run out of time.
Sounds great.
Blossom end rot, for anyone that's familiar or not familiar with it, is basically something that starts at the bottom of the tomato where the blossom is, and then I think we've talked about it a little bit in the past too, and it starts just as the fruit's starting to blush. So like right when it goes from green and starts to ripen, that's usually when it sets in, and it basically just turns into like a brown mushiness at the bottom. But it does spread. If it really takes over, then it takes over about half the fruit. So of course by that point, the fruit's basically unsellable, because if the top looks pretty and it's nice, but the whole bottom is just mushy brown stuff, you know, you're not going to be able to do much with it. So it is a problem when it happens, and a little bit happens every year. You can read a little bit about it, and typical attributes for it are that it's due to calcium issues, that the tomato is not bringing up enough calcium. But it's actually kind of an interesting lesson. We did some deep dive on it this week and learned a little bit about how the calcium is accessible and how it's used. And at the end of the day, just sort of throwing calcium in your soil doesn't always equal to the plant takes that calcium up, because there's a lot of different factors with the pH. For example, if pH is too acidic or too low, then that deters the plant's ability to pull up the calcium. And then also, if water is inconsistent, or particularly in the super, super humid weather like we were having in the last week, which explains it quite well, if it's really, really humid and or if it's raining, then that reduces the amount of evaporation that's coming out of the plant's leaves, and it slightly reduces the amount of draw that the plant has for water. Obviously, if it's super sunny and hot, that might sort of cancel some of it out. But that through pulling up water through the roots is actually how it transports its calcium. So if the plant isn't pulling for a whole lot of water, then it's not also pulling up that calcium that it needs as it's starting to produce more and more fruit. And then also early in the season, when you start getting fruits on the plant, the plant's still pretty aggressively producing leaves as well. And then similarly, those leaves that are coming in, those are also competing for calcium with the fruit. So if you do some reading about blossom end rot, you often find out that, you know, you don't always get all the detail behind it, but you read often that it's more of an early season problem. So some of these background have been real interesting that we've been learning this week about sort of why it has such traits.
Always learning at the Grange. Well, Grange. Ben, thanks so much for joining us today. And good luck staying cool in the heat. Make sure you're staying hydrated and that your crew is, you know, liberally applying the sunblock.
Sunblock, too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For folks who want to find out.
Aaron.
Yeah, thank you. For folks who want to find out more about what's happening up on the rooftops of New York City's best markets and gardens, definitely check them out at brooklyngrangefarm.com or follow them on Twitter at Brooklyn Grange. Thanks so much for tuning in, and stay tuned. Up next, we've got the Farm Report.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.